Hi, welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Ethan Durant, and in today's episode, I'll be talking about NBA, MLB, and NFL news. Only a few minutes into his introductory news conference on Friday, Russell Westbrook said, "I only care about one team, and that's the Houston Rockets." After spending his first 11 seasons with the Thunder, Westbrook officially embarked on a new chapter. It was somewhat a surreal image. Westbrook dressed in Rockets color with GM Daryl Morey sitting to his right. Daryl Morey said, "To get something great, you've got to give up something great." The Rockets traded Chris Paul in future draft compensation to OKC on July 11th, reuniting Westbrook with former Thunder teammate James Harden. Westbrook said of Harden, "We've been friends for many, many years, since I was 10, actually. So we've played with each other in OKC. And to be able to win something, you've got to be willing to sacrifice some parts of your game. And we both understand that. We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship. We understand what we have to do. I'm not worried about it, and I know James isn't worried about it. I can play off the ball. I don't have to touch the ball to impact the game. That's the best way for me to come in and impact this team. I could do other things on the floor to make sure we have a better chance to win." Westbrook and Harden played together for only 3 seasons at OKC. Harden, who won the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year that year, was traded to the Rockets before the beginning of the 2012-13 campaign. Westbrook was already an all-star at this time, but both players established themselves as franchise players, winning MVPs and making NBA history along the way. Russell Westbrook won MVP after averaging a triple-double a game a year or so ago, and Harden also won MVP a year ago. Westbrook and Harden share confidence about making the pairing work in Houston because of their familiarity with each other, but they were both significantly different players they were when they were last teammates. Westbrook said, I'll fit right in, personally. The four spread. It gives me the opportunity to attack, penetrate, kick. Defensively, it'll give me an opportunity to switch and guard and rebound at a high level. Push the break, get us on the break, a lot of different things. I think this style of play is great, something I'm looking forward to do. Just getting out in space in the open floor. Shooters all around and playing that way. The Clippers, one day after introducing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George as franchise's newest superstars, team owner Steve Ballmer said he proposed the idea for a $1 billion state-of-the-art arena. Also, in other news, speaking publicly for the first time since trading stars Russell Westbrook and Paul George, Thunder GM Sam Presti expressed appreciation for both players, but he disagreed with George's claim that to deal him was mutual. He said, "I think the world of PG. I think everybody knows that. I know that he had used the term mutual. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, because that would infer that we were wanting to trade Paul George, which I think most people would agree that wasn't one of our top offseason priority list. But I would say that it was not adversarial at all, and I fully respect the way that it was handled, and the fact that we were able to make it work in a way that benefited both the franchise, made it something that we would do." At his introductory news conference with the Clippers on Wednesday, Paul George said the process between him and the Thunder was collaborative, with the two sides working hand in hand, and that it was a mutual thing between both of us, that the time was up and we both had ideas of doing things differently. George requested a trade from the Thunder a few days into free agency, with the Clippers as his preferred destination to be a duo with Kawhi Leonard, who recruited George to him. Presti continued saying, the players have the freedom to be able to talk and recruit, and there's nothing limiting that. And that's obviously changed the game for us. But I feel really good about the fact that we were able to make it work for everybody and figure out a solution. because based on just looking down the runway, we were probably going to be faced with that scenario probably after the following season. We would have just 1 year left on his contract at that point in time. And although we may have had more time to plan, I don't think they were going in a position to be able to recoup that value that we were able to get in that particular situation. In other news, the Oakland A's have acquired left-hander Jake Dykeman from the Kansas City Royals. This is bolstering a bullpen that is already considered one of the best in the MLB. Dykeman joined the Royals as a free agent this winter and has been one of the most popular players on the trade market leading up to July 31st deadline. Oakland will send two prospects back to Kansas City after beating out a number of suitors who coveted Dykeman's fastball-slider mix. Entering today's games, Oakland is 58-47, is 8 games behind the Houston Astros in the AL West. The Athletics, however, are tied with the Boston Red Sox for 3rd place in the heated wildcard chase, just a half game behind the Tampa Bay Rays for the final spot. Dykeman has a 4.75 ERA, below the league average. His 13.6 strikeouts per 9 rank 11th among relievers, but he also ranks in the top 25 in lowest home run rate. With Dykeman, Blake Treinen, Liam Hendricks, and Louis Trevino, the A's are assembling one of the hardest throwing bullpens in the major leagues, hoping to ride it to the postseason as they did last year. This is the second trade this month between the Kansas City and the A's. The A's acquired starter Homer Bailey for infield Kevin Morrell on July 14th. Dykeman signed a 1-year, $2.5 million contract with the Royals in the offseason. The deal included a mutual option for the 2020 season. In other news, Brian Cashman has been trying to get trades up before the trade deadline. He has talked to every big league team except one. He said, quote, "I'm fully engaged with every team except for the Boston Red Sox." He also said before Friday's game, "We've entered the process with a deadline and a pretty good feel for what we'd like to do and what we're willing to pay for. And also having the built-in discipline of walking away if we can't find the right matches in any of those circumstances. That's regardless of what's been happening in the past week." Cashman on what he's looking for. "I'm looking at pitching, both rotation and pen. Don't really see much, if anything, on the position player side to be dealing with. Our main focus is pitching and seeing if there are any matches on the pitching front." Asked if any of his minor league process were considered untouchable, Cashman said they weren't, but he acknowledged a tier existed. "Some are more realistic than others. So if you're going to play in certain waters, there's going to be a smaller category of legitimate options that I would be interested on certain guys." Cashman said the goal is in the next four days is to reinforce our club and add to it if possible. He's also aware, however, that making a move might not happen. In other news, DJ LeMahieu, the American League batting leader of the New York Yankees, is out of the lineup against the Boston Red Sox with a groin injury. He's batting .332 with 15 home runs and 71 RBIs and has been a pleasant surprise to the team that's been besieged by injuries. Boone said he had an MRI on Saturday and the club is awaiting the results before making any decisions regarding a trip to the injured list. In other news, the Dodgers have placed Ross Stripling on the 10-day IL because of tendonitis in his right biceps. They said this before today's game against the Washington Nationals. Robert said that the problem with his neck probably compromised his delivery, which got into the bicep. When you're talking about an arm for a pitcher, you've got to be cautious. Moving on to NFL news. Fournette said that they were humbled last season after making a surprising run to the AFC Championship game the year before, despite losing to the Patriots. He said, "I think we appreciate last season overall. I feel like a lot of things individually, we all could have gone to ourselves in better shape, confidence-wise, coming off a great season in 2017. I think last year kind of humbled us in a lot of ways." They were 5-11 last year. They were 5-11 last year. Ezekiel Elliott is not at training camp. The Dallas Cowboys is assigned the two-time NFL rushing champion to a long-term deal with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. Jerry Jones said, "Certainly we were working on it behind the scenes, and we feel optimistic that when we're all said and done here, that things will usually work themselves out. Elliott's absence does not help the process, but the Cowboys view..." Elliott's absence does not help the process, but the Cowboys view the running back's absence more as a hiccup than something that will become bigger. He said, quote, "Zeke is an outstanding player. I don't want to seem cavalier about it, but I don't want to be unrealistic. Being alarmed by it. This is what we do. This is the air we breathe. Just because you have parts of it that need addressing, you won't be able to manage. You wouldn't be functioning." In other news, the Detroit Lions are moving it on from Theo Riddick. After 6 seasons with the team, they also officially announced the signing of defensive lineman Mike Daniels on Saturday. Coach Matt Patricia said about Mike Daniels, "Obviously bringing in Mike, we needed to find a spot. Theo obviously is a great professional. He's a great player. He did a lot of great things for us through the course of the years. We still have all the respect in the world for everything he's done, but in many of those situations, we're just trying to do what's best for the team." Thanks for listening to E2One Go Sports. As always, I'm Easton Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at E2One Go Sports, and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E2One Go Sports. Thank you.